Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the front page is the blog. The new ones go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But you never know what else might pop up there, so head on over there, check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with the E.
Oh, and today we have a special appearance. Mr. Fantasy has been nice enough to join us to start the podcast out. So we're all excited to have that happen.
Yeah, happy football Monday, right?
Yes. So you could tell by the excitement in Dan's voice. But before we do jump into a bunch of football, it still is baseball season. And while Mr. Fantasy is all geared into doing his FanDuel football lineup, and hopefully he'll share the one with us he did tonight, I'll give him a chance to look for it. You know, to Dan and I, it's still baseball season. Dan actually made the playoffs in both of our fantasy leagues. I managed to get one team in. I finished ninth. I missed a spot in the other league by one place. Mr. Fantasy, sadly, did not get either team in. But, Dan, before I read you my FanDuel lineup, can I tell you that I believe the Cleveland Indians' win streak will end tonight? What do you think?
I'm going to go the opposite way. They're going to continue.
Okay, well, there's a reason why it's going to end tonight. Dan, here's my FanDuel lineup. I'm going with Carlos Carrasco pitching for $10,600. Wilson Ramos is my catcher of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's $2,100 tonight. He's hitting sixth for them. I have Edwin Encarnacion of the Indians at first base. He's batting cleanup for them. Cost me $4,300. Darwin Barney of the Blue Jays is my second baseman, $2,500. He's hitting ninth, but I spent a lot of money on Indians, so I got to save money here. Mike Moustakas of the Royals is my third baseman. He's hitting sixth for them tonight, cost me $3,100. I did this again, didn't I? Why I keep drawing blanks on what these guys' first names are. Richard Urania is playing, well, he's in the Blue Jay lineup tonight. He's actually leading off, Dan. Look at that. I got a leadoff guy for $2,400. Then my outfield rounds out to be Nomar Mazara of the Texas Rangers for $3,800. He's hitting cleanup for them tonight. Jay Bruce of the Indians hitting fifth for them tonight. He cost me $3,300. And then my lineup wraps up with Lonnie Chisenhall of the Indians for $2,900. He's hitting second for them tonight. So, yes, there are four Indians in my lineup. This is why they will lose tonight. Quick recap. I got Carlos Carrasco pitching, Wilson Ramos catching, Edwin Encarnacion at first, Darwin Barney at second, Mike Moustakas at third, Richard Urania at short, and the outfield is Nomar Mazara, Jay Bruce, and Lonnie Chisenhall. That's for tonight. It's a 6:07 start time, Dan, so you still got, I don't know, 28 minutes or so. Maybe, oh no, actually you got about 32 minutes to get your lineup in. So you got plenty of time to chalk that up and get it rolling. Did you do a baseball lineup, Dan?
No, I'm still waiting for the
rest of the season to come through. So, all right. Well, Mr. Fantasy, were you able to hunt down your football lineup for tonight only, and you can tell us who you went with?
Well, I can tell you most of it. See if I can get it up. I'm driving, you know. But,
oh, pull up.
Let's see here. I know basically who it is. Oh, I can't because I'm on the phone. It won't let my provider doesn't let me search and do it. But we'll go through it now. I'll get most of it for you. It's I had Sam Bradford under center. Then it's Melvin Gordon and Mark Ingram are my running backs. And then I have Stephon Diggs. Who's the guy from Minnesota who's their number two, who's opposite of him? Adam Thielen. He's my second guy. And then who's the number two for New Orleans this year? Just came over this year. Wasn't there last year with them.
Adrian Peterson?
Ted Ginn Jr.
No. Ted Ginn Jr. That's who I have. So he's my third. I have the Saints starting their number one tight end is my tight end. I can't think of his name. I don't have it in front of me.
Colby Fleener?
And then I've got, yes, Colby Fleener, former Colt. And then I've got Broncos defense, and I think the Chargers kicker, Yahoo or whatever his name is. It's some the rookie they have.
Yes, I would have picked him just because of the name. So,
yeah,
it's like
so
Yahoo kick.
Lineup.
Like that.
Yep.
All right. Well, Mr. Fantasy was huge yesterday, so I hope you listened to his advice. He won about $300, I think he said. So he's all good to go tonight.
Not like that,
and you know, and that game kicks off in about 34 minutes or so is the scheduled start. So you still have some time to make your big, huge adjustments now that you got his advice, and you know you can cash in like he did. Sadly, I did not do a Monday Night Football lineup. I didn't realize they were doing it for two games. Dan, did you know? Did you even look at one?
No, I figured it was over one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. But all right, well, I guess I'll ask Dan first because I got a feeling his response will be quicker. Two-pronged, Dan. How much football did you watch, and what were your takeaways from Week 1? Did anything jump out at you?
I pretty much watched the whole Bears game. You know, they played.
Oh, I'm
well.
Sorry.
I felt the Falcons played a lot worse than they should have against the team that they were supposed to beat.
Oh yeah, they sure did. So, all right, well, Mr. Fantasy, how much football did you watch? You know, same thing. And what jumped out at you?
I watched a ton of football from kickoff till the end of Sunday night's game. I was watching all day. You know, the Bears should have stole that game. They did what we talked about on the air. You know, they were going to keep it close. You disagreed with me. They had the chance, but Josh Bellamy and Howard couldn't come through in the red zone in that game. They should have stolen that game, but it doesn't mean they're a better team than the Falcons. They just, you know, had some weapons. But I'm trying to figure out what the Giants were doing last night with their game planning. They didn't run the ball at all. I think they had 15 running plays the entire game and kept their defense on the field, and I think that's what lost the game for them. That defense was gassed in the fourth quarter last night. Injury Danny Woodhead. I was so excited to see him play, you know, and he didn't make it the first quarter, did he, yesterday before he got hurt?
No.
And then what's my guy from the Rams, the first round pick who I was predicting to have a monster game yesterday?
Todd Gurley?
The second. Yeah, Todd Gurley the second. I couldn't have been more disappointed. The game was a blowout. We knew it was going to be a blowout. I figured this guy was going to have a monster game and to walk away with 50 yards and a touchdown yesterday when they scored 46 points. How the heck is that possible? And when I was watching the game, he doesn't look like a number one back. He doesn't look like a like an NFL, back. He's slow, and he just wasn't able to, hit any of the holes yesterday. I was so disappointed what I saw. I thought for sure last night was the night you'd see a glimmer of something from him, and when I'm watching the game, I didn't see anything.
Now, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, I was confused there for a little bit because when Mr. Fantasy, when he said the Bears did what they needed to do, I honestly thought he meant Kevin White going out for the season right away. So I was a little confused there at first.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I mean, I thought he'd make it.
I have to bring this up again, Dan, because I remember, and just an irate phone call we got on the podcast when I was reviewing the draft, and I hated the Kevin White pick, and I believe I gave the Bears the only F I've actually ever assigned to anybody in a draft. Do you remember the irate phone call we got from that caller? What was his name, Dan? Do you remember?
It took my mind.
Yeah, you know, yeah, Mr. Fantasy, that was you. Are you ready to step up here and admit to everybody that I was right and you were just way off on what this guy was going to be?
Well, first of all, I wasn't irate. I love the way you changed what happened.
Oh, you were irate.
I said it was the first pick in the new regime. I said it takes time to figure this out. It's unfortunate this guy's going to be a bust because he can't stay healthy. You never know. I mean, it's frustrating. Some guys bust out because they can't play. You didn't know he was going to be hurt every single year and play a total of 5 games in his career or whatever it's been. You had no way to know that.
I knew he was going to be a bust.
No, I don't think you could have known that. And I still don't know that he would have been a bust on performance. He's going to bust out because he can't stay healthy. His body's not built for staying healthy in the NFL. So.
Yeah. So the Bears say goodbye to Kevin White for the season. The Jaguars, big loss. They lose Allen Robinson to an ACL tear. He's done for the rest of the season. The Colts have already announced that it looks like they use the term unsure, but Andrew Luck is going to be out. They don't know who they're going to start at quarterback. And it looks like the Cardinals are rumored to be putting David Johnson on the IR because he has a dislocated wrist, and they're saying surgery, but he is contemplating a second opinion. I guess right now you guys are happy you didn't have first pick in any of our drafts and ended up with David Johnson, huh?
Absolutely. And what about Bell? You know, we had talked about that at quite a bit, that guys who miss preseason don't work out. And against the Browns yesterday, he couldn't get anything going. I mean, his stat line was terrible. You know, he didn't look very good. And then, you know, and good thing for Antonio Brown, because he was the entire offense yesterday. He looked like a man among boys yesterday playing.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of ways, you know, I know Dan and I kind of agree on this. You know, the first almost 2 weeks now of the NFL season are really just a continuation of the preseason. It really seems like not only teams, but I mean, even in some senses, you know, the officials really struggle. I mean, I saw a lot of referees who were looking at stuff and just decided not to call it, one way or the other. And then in some cases they called it and they were way out of line. But yeah, it's, you know, it's always bad football to start. And I think Dan, you and I are kind of used to this by now, aren't we? Oh no, did I kill Dan? So, oh no, he's still there.
He's just muted, doesn't realize it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I haven't done that in a while, but we'll have to see. Did you guys look? How are you doing in our leagues? Are you going to pull out big wins in week one?
It looks like I'll win both in the game for the new team I inherited. That one looks like that's going to be a loss, but the other two look like I won. Or I should. I'm projected to going into tonight.
Yeah, I'm really close in the auction league. It's going to be difficult to see. Going to go down to the wire. I'm going to win in the snake league. I think I'm going to win actually. Pretty easy, but oddly, I believe I'm the team I took over. I'm playing against Dan, and he's just crushing me. I think that's the auctions, or no, that's the snake league. So I'm going to lose that one of the of that. But hopefully, you know, I manage to go 2-1 or something. Dan, how are you doing in the auction league?
Well, the one in the auction league, I'm kind of even right now. My phone's not bringing it up, but the snake league, the inherited team, I'm getting my butt kicked. And then the one I'm kicking your butt in is the one with Alex Smith and the Chiefs running back.
Yeah.
Hopefully that one.
Yeah, there's not much. Nobody's gonna beat you in that league with what those two guys put up. You could have had a terrible day yesterday and just not had any issues whatsoever with the way that worked out for you. So you're definitely okay there. But
for most people, Hurricane Irma was a big negative. For Dan, it was a huge positive.
Yeah. So yeah, worked out really well for Dan. So, you know, the forced starting of Alex Smith was the big winner. And sadly, I was, you know, I was dumb enough to keep him on the bench and go with Carson Palmer. I don't think I'll make that mistake again. That was kind of the one thing I noticed going around to some of the different games, man. I think, you know, and it's always tough kind of after week one, but boy, man, it looks like the windows for the Cardinals and the Bengals are just closed. You know, I mean, yeah. The Bengals did nothing yesterday, and, you know, the Cardinals had a winnable game, and they couldn't, you know, every time they had an opportunity, I think either Palmer threw a pick or they did something stupid. So it definitely looks like that's all done there.
Yeah, you wonder if they can, how quickly they can recover, because I don't know what, you know, it's going to take a while. I don't know what young assets they have over there, but it's not a ton of stuff, right? I mean, they don't have anybody under center to step in. You know, the receiving core is up there. I don't know. I think J.J. Nelson's still young, right, or younger, but who else do they have?
Well, they did draft a quarterback, I think it was 2 years ago, but I don't know if he's still hanging around. No, he's not on their depth chart. So yeah, they're looking like they're the kind of the next team to fall into that trap of, you know, who's going to be under center. Cause I think Carson Palmer is, did I see 38? I got to check. Yeah, he'll be 38 in December. So yeah, it's that, you know, there's not, you know, not too much, you know, too much kind of left there with that. And you know, the Bengals, I don't know. I mean, you know, you're looking at another team that has a lot of talent, but now isn't it time to start asking if Andy Dalton is the right guy to be the quarterback? I mean, they've never won a playoff game with him. And I mean, he looked really bad yesterday. So, you know, and I know a lot, we talked yesterday about not thinking the Ravens defense was going to be anywhere close to what it used to be, but man, they looked like it yesterday.
Yeah, they looked really, really good yesterday. Boy, was I wrong on that. Huh?
Dalton was 16 of 31 with 4 picks in that game. You know, and obviously, you know, it's week one, so, you know, you don't want to, you know, go ape crazy and get too far ahead of things. And I know, like, the Cardinals luckily get to turn around and host the Colts, who are obviously, you know, a huge dumpster fire without Andrew Luck under center. And, you know, you got to wonder with even when he comes back, if there'll be anything left or for him to come back to. And I'm looking here to see where Cincinnati,
you know,
goes
it,
next week.
You know, with the Bengals, I wonder I wonder if it's their scheme, if that's a big deal, and the way their team is made up. Because if you look at it, they've got one of the top receivers, you know, with A.J. Green. But you can game plan and take a guy like him out. But who else scares you in that team? You can't get going. You know, their tight end doesn't stay healthy. He's got his broken toe or whatever right now going into the season. So he's not going to be as effective as he should be. But they're running back four. They've got four guys, and it doesn't seem like you know who they're starting. And a lot of guys, like Jordan Howard, he's best when he gets carries, so that when he gets into the fourth quarter, that's when he really gets really is rolling at that point. And if you don't have running backs that get touches, they don't ever get into the flow of the game. And when you have all these guys, it just seems like that they just don't know what they're doing, and you're never going to get your offense rolling. So I wonder sometimes it's just the regime, and it's not the, you know, and the makeup around him, it's not, you know, him, but it could be both. But I just question the way they have that team built.
Well, and they get the quick turnaround. They're playing Thursday night. They're hosting Houston, who was a really disappointing team. You know, Dan, I got to ask, how the hell did you come up with picking the Jaguars to beat Houston yesterday? Because I didn't think they stood a chance. You were the only one out of us who picked them.
I just figured they had defense, but no offense, but whatever.
So, yeah, that – yeah, talk about another quarterback who didn't look like he belonged in the NFL, man. I don't know what the heck Houston was thinking going with Tom Savage. They would have been better off, you know, grooming Watson and getting Watson ready to go from the get-go, wouldn't they have?
How do you make that change to a halftime? I mean, if you're that close that you're, you know, that you're on the fence where you'll make the change at half of the first game of the season, couldn't you have just had that guy under center the whole time?
That's what I thought when they did it. But, you know, when Watson rolled in, he, you know, he gave them quite a spark. You know, and for a minute there, it looked like he was going to kind of, I don't know, get him back or at least get him within striking distance. But, you know, he... You know, Jacksonville's got a really good defense. So, you know, maybe they'll be a little more of a threat this year than, you know, than we thought or I thought or anybody thought.
Yeah, and Fournette looked really good running the ball yesterday.
So, you know, and I mean, you know, Dan's guy Blake Bortles is just, he's a monster. You know, he... You know, he got his job back, and, you know, you just, you can't stop the guy. You know, oddly, I think, you know, they're in first place in that division. And, now, Dan, did you grab him in one of the leagues, Dan, just for the heck of it, or?
No, in the auction league, I tried bidding up Mike Glennon and got stuck with him.
Oh, okay. Well, he didn't play terrible yesterday. I mean, he wasn't great, but, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, well, if I only got to use him for 1 week, I can live with him. So.
Well, it was 2 weeks, you know. Or no, I guess you're right.
Yeah, well, for.
Right?
Yeah.
Can't get a week now.
No, yeah, they used it, so they've got to play. Tampa and Miami get the joy of playing 16 straight games in a row. So that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out for them.
Oh, they're going to break down.
So, yeah, it you know, definitely going to be interesting to see how that kind of works out. But, yeah, you know, barring anything odd happening tonight, would either of you guys guess that Alex Smith would be the quarterback who threw for the most yards in week one?
No, not at all.
No.
So.
No.
You know, that was just kind of, you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, Drew Brees could put up some big numbers, so maybe he gets past. Smith threw for 368. So, you know, it's possible maybe, you know, a Drew Brees gets past him. I don't think... I don't know, maybe if the Chargers get down big, Rivers puts up some huge numbers, but I, you know, Bradford's really not that guy. And is Trevor Siemian starting for Denver? Is he the guy who won the job?
Yes. Yeah, Trevor Siemian is starting. Yeah, I don't like Philip Rivers' shot today against the Chargers or against that Denver defense. Their corners are really, really good.
Yeah, you know, they look, you know, they look, you know, they seem to be healthy, obviously. You know, they look like they're going to be a, you know, one of the top defenses in the league again. So it's going to be, you know, going to be interesting. But, you know, Mr. Fantasy, I did want to give you a chance to defend yourself a little. You were really up on the 49ers yesterday, just taking it to the Panthers. Yep. You know, the Panthers go out west. You were dead set on they were going to just crush them. Is it just your hatred for the way Ron Rivera runs that offense that you're picking against Carolina, or were you buying what you were selling?
I think it's a combination. I think it's one of those things, and we talked about that with the Cowboys. You know, it calls my judgment how much I hate the Cowboys. I like Cam Newton. You always tell me I'm a Cam Newton hater. I'm a Ron Rivera hater. I don't like the way that he runs that offense. And I thought Cam Newton was going to have some rust coming off the surgery. The defense last year was very bad. I mean, they weren't very good defensively last year. The offense wasn't good. I thought this was a game that the 49ers, with their newfound offense and stuff, would be able to come in and exploit it a little bit. And the 49ers defense is pretty good, especially against the pass, but it just didn't materialize. So, you know, maybe I was too much on the bandwagon, but I did believe what I was saying, and I still think they're going to be better than what they were last year. I think you're going to see a big improvement this year with Shanahan, you know, at the helm.
Yeah, well, you know, Cam did only throw the ball 25 times. He wasn't sacked. He did have to scramble a couple times, so he ended up with 6 rushes for 3 yards, and he did fumble. But I don't remember really seeing a called run play. Obviously, I didn't watch every single down of it there. But they ran the football 38 times, so that's a recipe to be very successful if they can continue to do that.
Yeah, and Jonathan Stewart looked pretty good yesterday. I didn't get to see a lot. I don't know how the rookie did for the Panthers yesterday, so you have to fill me in on that. But, yeah, this what I did see in, you know, with Cam, I was happy to see that it didn't look like they were doing a whole lot with him, you know, running the ball.
All right, well, here I can answer your question because I just happened to be on that page. He had 13 carries for 37 yards. He had a long of 11. He did lose a fumble rushing. He was targeted 7 times and caught 5 passes for 38 yards. So,
okay, so he's just around 3 yards a carry, which isn't great. A lost fumble, but in the passing game, obviously, he was much more effective.
So, yeah. Dan, I this is something I think you and I have addressed, or you and I have kind of talked about here. Did you, I don't know, you know, obviously with your moving and everything, did you get to see any of the later Rams Colts game by any chance?
Was that right after the Bears?
I believe so. I think it was, cause it was a later game. So yeah, it would have been one of the games.
I don't remember. I watched the Bears and kind of fell asleep.
Because what I was trying to figure out, is they play in, I think the Rams play in the Coliseum right now because that stadium's not ready. And I don't know if you guys noticed this or paid any attention to it, but, you know, L.A. had to have a team. The NFL was just so excited about getting back into L.A., and now they got 2 teams in L.A., and the stadium was like empty for week 1. And it was just kind of like, man, where is everybody? I mean, it's week 1. You should be out here. Did either of you guys notice how poor that the attendance was for that game?
Yeah, I did notice. And it looked weird watching it played in the stadium that they were in. It was not a proper football stadium or what you'd come to see. So that was weird to me. I just wonder, you know, with the baseball teams, because we had a couple baseball teams move to Los Angeles last year too, right? Or they're moving And then you've got the two football teams. Are they oversaturating? I mean, is there enough people to support all those teams?
The NFL is king, so they should, they should draw no problem. I'm looking to see if I can find an attendance figure for this game, but I don't see anything right off the bat. And I mean, you would think as well as the Rams played, they would, Dan, where were all the famous people?
Sitting at home? I don't think the Rams have any interest.
They're following Oakland to Vegas.
Yes, oh yeah, that were they're all waiting for the Raiders to move so they can jump in there and see how that worked out. All right, let me see. I think I found it here. Where are you, LA? Come on, did they cheat me? Did Dallas really draw 93,000 people to that game last night?
It holds 100,000.
Oh. Oh, it must have been bad. They shorted me. They actually only have 12 attendances listed. They have 24 games, obviously, but they only have 12 attendances listed. So obviously you're not going to see Tampa or Miami because they didn't play, but maybe they're hiding it. They don't want us to know how bad it was.
I did read they were giving away $10 tickets earlier that day, or earlier yesterday.
Here you go. I found it. They were the lowest drawing out of any NFL home team yesterday. They drew 55,919. That was the Cardinals were 15th at 61,929. And then the Bears drew 62,425, but I know Soldier Field doesn't have many more than that. So it's not like the Bears were going to be able to. Yeah, it's not like the Bears were going to be able to squeeze people in there because it's just not going to, just not going to work out for them. But yeah, so there it is. They were the lowest drawing home team yesterday, but it was just a place the NFL had to go. So,
at what point do the fans get tired of all the moving? I mean, LA, the Rams have been in LA before and left, and now they're back. When do they get tired?
Yeah, when they
of
left
this?
Because, they left because they didn't draw. So,
So what's different now?
Yeah. Right. That's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I got an interesting stat. I think it was since 1989, let's back up a little bit. Yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger won his 11th game in Cleveland in his career, which is more than any quarterback who started for the Browns since 1989.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was surprised by that.
A year.
To be fair, they looked better than I thought they were going to look. I was surprised they scored 18 points. I didn't think they were even going to get to that. But they're definitely still a mess. So it'll be fun to look and see how all that works out for everybody. I know we'll be very excited to follow along. So, and now I know, Mr. Fantasy, you're going to your Monday night party that you don't invite Dan and I to, but now will you guys stay for both games? Because that second game is going
to
run late.
Yeah, we'll see how I'm feeling. I got to work in the morning, so I don't know that I'll stay for the whole game for that. I'm actually just pulled in right now, so I'll be jumping off in a second. But, you know, we'll see how the games are going and stuff. You know, if I'm winning on my FanDuel, I might be more motivated to stay to see what happens in the second half or the second game.
You know, and how many of your friends from our league show up that aren't friends with me?
There's about 7 or 8 of us. And if you show up once in a while, maybe they would be friends with you.
No, I don't think so. But you know, that's nice on your part to think that though. I appreciate that. So.
Well, again, I invited you to come every Monday. We're here, and Dan, you're more than welcome.
Do you?
To come. We're in North.
Dan, do you remember him inviting me?
Yeah, I told you, and you yelled at me. You yelled at me because I said, I know you work at night, it'll be difficult for you to come, but, you know, we're doing Monday Night Football, you should show up. And you gave me some lecture about that was really presumptuous of me to assume you wouldn't show up.
I would never use the word presumptuous, just so you know. So that definitely wasn't something I've ever said. You could go through every one of these podcasts, and that you would never hear that word come out of my mouth. So, you know, that's just something you're making up now to cover for yourself. So
I'm paraphrasing, but that's what you said.
You know, geez, and you complain to me when you say I make up stories. Good Lord, how did you fabricate that?
I guess that was terrible.
Well, you know, don't,
assuming you could use a word like that.
You know, don't make any trade. Well, you know, don't make any trades while you're there. You know, because we got that one terrible trade offer already. So, you know, don't do anything like that. Okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I knew it was bad too. I sent it to you and told you that I thought it was bad, but I still run every trade by you just in case. But if somebody does something weird where they want to send us Calvin Johnson for Doug Martin again, you know, I'm all over it.
Those I don't mind so much. It's just, you know, the other ones. So,
yeah,
you know,
I didn't realize how that helped us. So.
I don't think it did, but, you know, that's just one of those fun things. I'm disappointed that I deleted it. I should have kept it so I could have read it off to Dan and see what he thought of it. Because I know he gets a kick out of those trades.
But they offer you stuff.
Yeah, I forgot. He wanted to give us like a couple running backs and something else for our – what he wanted our – did he want one of our quarterbacks? And I draw a blank on what it all was. But it was one of those things I looked at it and I went, why in the hell would we make this trade? So
– yeah, it was – he wanted to send us Philip Rivers. He wanted to give us who's starting for Houston right now? As
Where?
Running back, at running back, for running back in Houston.
Oh, Lamar Miller.
Yeah, Lamar Miller. And then there was another guy, and I don't remember who it was or why it made sense to us. And then he wanted us to send back starter, the QB from Philly, the backup for Lamar, or for Lamar Miller, and the tight end from Tampa is what it was.
It was just one of those, like I said, I looked at it and I said, this makes absolutely no sense for us to do. Why would we even, you know, consider this? But I was like, oh, okay, you know, I guess. Whatever. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, barring a Dalvin Cook explosion tonight, we should easily win both those games. It looks like we might be the second or third highest scoring team in the league this week. So we're off to a pretty good start there.
Yeah, we should. It'll be nice to go to start 2-0 in that league. I mean, we've been doing good in football the last. It seems like last year we did bad after. Kershaw got hurt, then we couldn't make up for the pitching, and we dropped like a rock. And I don't think that we did well last year in baseball. I can't remember, but football, we've been very competitive, and hopefully we can get off to a good start this year.
Yes, we shall see.
All right. Well, I'm walking in, so I'm going to jump off. Thanks for talking to me, guys.
Well, tell everybody Dan and I said hi.
All right, we'll do.
All right, there goes Mr. Fantasy. So we can relax now and not have to worry about it. But, you know, I was looking here, Dan, and this was some of the stuff I wanted to get with you. So I'm glad we got a little time to talk to this. You know, I joked about the Indians winning streak earlier while I was putting the FanDuel lineup together. I believe I saw they lost Bradley Zimmer. Yeah, he broke his hand on Sunday. And apparently to replace him, they want to try Jason Kipnis in center field. Now, you know, Kipnis has had, I think, 2 hamstring strains this year. Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, if you can play second, you could probably play short, and you could probably play center field, right?
Well, no, it's just the shortstops who play all the positions. It's not the second baseman. So, you have to kind of wonder there. But, yeah, I mean, do you want a guy who has kind of already had 2 hamstring issues trying to man center field?
I wouldn't, but, you know, maybe Tito thinks pulling a little Joe Madden card out of his hat will actually work and, you know, get him into the, or, you know, keep the streak going. Or maybe that's just it with the streak that they have. Maybe he thinks it doesn't matter. But I would think I would think you put one of your corner guys and put him in the corner.
Yeah, you know, I know one is Jay Bruce. So I don't think he can play center field. With Michael Brantley out, I think that greatly affects them because, you know, he can't
play at all.
He could possibly come over and be able to help out, but now I'm trying to think who's filling in left field right now for them that I'm drawing a blank on. Oh, well, no, Lonnie Chisenhall's back, and he's definitely not a center fielder either. So we'll have to definitely have to see how it kind of works out for them. But I found it kind of interesting. I mean, I guess you really don't have a ton of other options.
I was going to say, what about Lindor?
Yeah, you know, it was weird because that was like the first thing that popped into my head was, would they be better off moving him out there, you know, and then putting Kipnis at second and allowing it would be Jose Ramirez who would probably have to move over to short. But, I guess Kipnis actually used to be a center fielder when he started in the Indians organization, but that was a long time ago now. I mean, he's been in the majors for 10 years, and I would love to know the last time he actually played something other than, you know, even second base. I'm gonna have to grab our wonderful baseball reference site and see if I can find that out really quick. But yeah, it just seemed like, you know, I get it. You know, they want the bat in the lineup, you know, because obviously he's a better hitter. But I guess what do you do? Do you play him 6-7 innings in center field and then you put Austin Jackson in for his defense at the end of the game?
I mean, if I were there, I'd put Austin Jackson in to start because I have him on my lineup.
Oh, well, here, looking at his player card, Dan, Kipnis has played 842 games in the major leagues, all at second base. So, yeah. I don't know. Let me, I want to grab his minor league card here to see if they have him, you know, where he was playing. Okay, he played, here you go, Dan. When they said he played center field early in the organization, you're going to love this. He played seven games in center field in 2009 in for Mahoney Valley in low class A.
Was that when he first was drafted?
That was his very first year with the Indians, 2009. He played seven games in center and 18 games in left field. To be fair, he didn't make an error. He had 48 chances, and he didn't make any errors. But it's 25 games in the outfield, only seven in center field. So yeah, I mean we're talking super huge, super small sample size here from what they were comparing. I thought when they meant he had played a little outfield that maybe he spent a season there, in the minors like some guys do, or some guys start out as outfielders and find other positions down the road just depending on how things work out. But no, that's it. So yeah, that's what we got.
You wouldn't even call that a cup of coffee, would you?
No. It may have been the full season for that, because it may have been, short A ball. They have those leagues where they only have, 30 or 40 game seasons or whatever. But, it's, again, we're talking 25 games. That's, that's nothing, obviously. I mean, that's less than a month at the major league level. So, I just kind of, I don't know. And obviously, they wouldn't put him out there if they didn't think he could handle it. But I'm just wondering if there's a better option or a better way for them to do it. I believe they do have the best record in the American League right now with this long winning streak. Yeah, they're a game ahead of the Astros. So, we'll see how it works out. But
with him playing center, does that mean he's leading off or leading up?
That I don't know. They've kind of bumped him around through the order, and I don't even know honestly if he's back with the team right now. I know he was on IR. Let me pull it up and see if he's even been activated yet, and then I'll check and see if he's in tonight's lineup. No, they still have him. The Mickey Mouse website still has him listed on the 10-day DL. So I don't know if or when he's eligible to come off. Let me see if they've got it working here. No, they don't have a date there for him. All right, we'll try something else. But yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of interesting. All right, if I can find him in all this mess here. Yeah, he went on August 23rd, so he's eligible to come off at any time. He's passed his 10 days, so it's just a matter of, if or when they feel he's ready. So we'll see how it works. But I wanted to get your opinion on this one, Dan. Last night, you know, the Nationals clinched the National League East. So, you know, they're headed into the playoffs, no problem. They got a 20-game lead here. You know, obviously it's a little early. I mean, they're still, what do they have, 30 some odd games left to go. They're 88-55, so, you know, they got, what, 18 games left to go. Do you like clinching early here in this scenario, or do you think too much rest hurts a team?
I don't think it would be too much rest, but I think they'd be too relaxed going into it. You know, more the mindset than the actual rest. Almost a little too confident.
Yeah, because I always wonder, when teams seem to do this, they get, you know, they seem to get cute, and, you know, starting pitchers only go, you know, five innings. You know, they're not out there. They're not out there on their regular rest, and, you know, they start, you know, giving guys days off, and, you know, obviously with these expanded rosters, a lot of the AAA guys who are up or AA guys are up are getting playing time. And I just wonder if that kind of takes you out of your rhythm, or, you know, something like that rolling along. I mean, obviously you don't want it to go down to the wire, but I think 7 games, 10 games might've been a little better kind of hook for them. Don't you?
Yeah. But I think as long as you keep your main guys kind of rolling, and Dusty's been what a manager almost as long as I've been alive. So, you know, you would think with his experience in the game as a whole, probably being as long as you've been alive, that he would, use this as his opportunity to, you know, figure out the situations. And, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, when the situation comes up, maybe it's funny because you said, you know, they get cute and let their pitchers go five innings. But, I mean, that's the game today as a whole. So you can't really even mock it anymore because it's what they do now. But, you know, I mean, you're kind of getting later in the game and just being able to use guys in certain situations, being, you know, field replacements, running replacements, even, you know, the pitchers, being able to figure out, you know, from the call-ups you have and a couple extra guys, you figure what they have at least a couple spots on playoff roster that they need to fill. So you've got to figure out, you know, which one of those guys between the bullpen and the bench can, you know, take that spot for late inning stuff.
Yeah. Now, you know, Washington is off today. So, if we remember, we're going to have to check their lineup tomorrow. Gio Gonzalez is the scheduled starter, so it doesn't look like they're going to juggle anything there right away. But I'll be interested to see what kind of lineup they run out and if any of the regulars end up with time off. So, you know, you'll have to make a mental note, Dan, to remind me to look at that while we're doing this tomorrow, okay? So, and then, I know we're kind of crunched on time here, but we still got a few minutes. I wanted to ask you, the Brewers came in and they really mopped up the Cubs this weekend. I mean, the Cubs just didn't hit. It was just one of those weekends, you know, sometimes the bats go silent. I don't care about the Cubs. I really think they're still going to win the division, but how big was this for Milwaukee as a younger team? And I mean, obviously, you know, they're still rebuilding. I mean, as far as you kind of look at them, but how big was it for them to come in here and be able to, let's call it, make a statement against the defending World Series champions?
I think it was huge because usually over the past few years, late in the season with these series, the Cubs have always generally dominated. You know, even when the Brewers were taking the division back in, what was it, 09? Time flies. So I think it's big, especially more so the statement with their pitching. You know, you had Chase Anderson, Zach Davies,
yeah,
and then Jimmy Nelson. All really show that they've got the stuff to be, you know, high caliber pitchers in the Major League Baseball. And, you know, I remember these guys last year, they pitched pretty well against the Cubs to begin with, and I think they're just getting better. It's unfortunate that Jimmy Nelson, I forgot what happened, but I know his season's done. So, you know, that's tough for them. But, you know, and you talk about the younger guys, but then don't forget about Ryan Braun. I mean, I know I've been, I wouldn't say down on him, but just not very excited to use a guy like him. And I think he's proven that despite, you know, past allegations and, you know, FedEx delivery guys, he still has it.
Yeah, you know, it was too bad Jimmy Nelson had that goofy slide back into first base and ended up, I don't know if he tore a rotator cuff or if he did something to his elbow, but yeah, he's done, you know, for the year, which it is going to hurt them eventually. I know he was out for a little while before. I think it might have been Chase Anderson who was out for a while before, and they managed. But, Dan, I don't know if you realize this or if anybody realizes this, but do you know yesterday was Zach Davies' 17th win this season?
No, I didn't even realize that. I wish I would have picked him up.
Yeah, I wish I would have picked him freaking during the year. You know, I mean, geez, that's I had no clue that was number 17 yesterday. You know, he's one of the few guys with an outside shot at actually winning 20. You know, now the ERA is a little better. You know, for a while he was running with a 5 ERA but still winning games. Now he's down to 367. You know, you mentioned Ryan Braun. I wanted to take a look here. You know, injuries have limited him to 88 games, so you wonder if his age is catching up. But he's hitting .273 with 15 homers and 45 RBIs. So he's still a solid power guy, and he does have 10 steals, so he's still getting the job done on the bases. You know, I hold a huge grudge against this guy from all the steroid stuff. I just kind of, honestly, I just can't get over it. It's just one of those things. But I think it was more the way he denied it so long and then found out it was true. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if you heard this one, but did, oh, yeah, no, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, if they, you know, can, obviously Jimmy Nelson next year will be the start of a new season. I think he'd come back. If Junior Guerra, I don't know if he's still part of the five man, if he can really shore it up, and I forget the fifth man, but I think they could really make a bigger run for it if they're able to make a couple moves this off season. We'll see if Braun is still with his team next year.
Oh, Dan, how could you forget their fifth guy, Matt Garza?
Oh, there we go.
All right, the music means that Dan and I are going to take off. The music means Dan and I are out of here. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Follow that link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well, so we will hunt you down. You notice I left Mr. Fantasy's Twitter feed out earlier because he won't reply to you anyway. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can find this podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.